All right, everyone, we are live. Joe and Mike back again. BuildAssetsOnline.com. Today we are doing a tier list. Surely you've seen these online. The Zoomers love these tier lists. And we are ranking, wait, not Google ads, you dumb butt. Dropshipping ads tier list. Look at this. Justin says melon. Brandon Wag says melon.
Yeah, guys, if you're listening, please drop a melon in the chat. That way we know you're serious. But yeah, this is we might attract too many Zoomers with this, Joe. So I'm a little bit concerned how this is gonna go. But yeah, I think we've all seen these videos, and yeah, figured it'd be a good way to talk about. All right, Google has all these different ad types, and they're getting more and more popular, and we're getting more and more questions. Oh, should I use Performance Max? Should I do this? Should I do that? And I think we've really done all these things we have listed here. We've spent many, many thousands of dollars in all of these options we have. So Ranjit hit us with the melon. So yeah, let's I guess get started on that. I guess before we do that, we will be reopening our program in May. Right now it is closed. So if you want to get notified before we open it, we're only doing 5 spots. So it's probably going to book up before we even start promoting it. But you can get on the wait list. If you go to buildassetsonline.com/enroll, it'll just take you to the sign up page. You can sign up for the wait list. And yeah, that way you'll be notified first when we open, and you can claim your spot. Yeah, we're just doing 5, and then it's over.
Wow. Done. Carpet Mujer with the 3 melons.
That's serious.
Yeah. All right. So what do we have here on our tier list? We have search, perform, and we also have Meta, and well, I guess this can include Instagram as well and Bing. But these 6 are Google ads. We have search, performance max, my favorite, display, shopping, video, and demand gen. And then we have Meta, which we group with Instagram and Bing. Yeah, the setup is, I guess, has similarities to Google, but we can't fit all of this on here. But, you know, Bing is Bing. So we'll just leave it at that.
Right. Bing has search ads. Bing has shopping ads, whatever. But yeah, like you said, they're really, we're gonna lump it all under the same category today. And I think the people will see why. So,
well, let's start with video ads, Mike. Let's just get this going. So, do you know how to do this?
Can you explain this tier list to me so I don't screw up and then the Zoomers laugh at me?
All right. So basically, S tier is the best one. A tier is good, and then it's like A B, like it gets worse from there. Like,
are we putting? Can anything? Is it one for one? Meaning, there's only one S. There's only one A, B, C, D. Okay, it can be multiple.
I mean, you can possibly have like 2 S's, but like typically, you know, you would think
right
there would only be one of the best, like the best best. Like if you're only going to use this.
All right, cool. Let's do it. So video. So let's talk about, I guess, our results with Google video ads. Obviously, we've used them for Build Assets Online, but today we're talking about dropshipping, high-ticket dropshipping. And so when you're doing high-ticket dropshipping, really, if we're selling a toilet, which in my opinion is a great high-ticket product to sell, and we've sold them, how are you going to run a video ad to convince somebody to buy a toilet? If they're not familiar with your website, they're not familiar with your toilet, unless you're making a special type of ad, like, oh my God, this is the best toilet I've ever used, and like trying to run that, I think you're going to have trouble. The one easy use case for video is a mode of retargeting for your website itself. So if we're selling the toilets, if somebody clicks onto our site, however they do that, and they're looking at the toilets, I like to do some basic YouTube retargeting. You make a quick website sort of video, say, hey, come back for a discount, And we've actually had that proven to work. We've gotten many, many conversions. We've been running ads like this for years. So yeah, Joe, I think about a C. About a C is where I would I would put that. Because again, we've gotten conversions from it. It's a relatively set it and forget it type ad. When you do it the way that I'm discussing. We actually go over exactly how we do this in our program.
And yeah.
You can talk videos and you can do it really easy. It doesn't have to be crazy.
So I think the idea is if you're trying to use like say, given the toilet example, you're gonna have to sell basically a viral toilet and or something that's like new in the marketplace that's disruptive to if you're going to be like really driving a lot through video, because you basically have to create demand or you have to retarget on it. It's really not good for anything else. And we don't, if you've been watching us for any period of time, we don't really believe in creating demand, especially for new people. It's really, really difficult. So you may have seen people talk about using video in any form, forget Google, you know, Instagram, TikTok, like any sort of video product marketing, you're going to have to really create demand, be disruptive, and it's very, very difficult. So don't try to do that. Work on harvesting demand, existing demand, rather than creating it. Okay, so we have video in C tier. Let's go to demand gen.
So demand gen is basically a campaign type that takes display ads, Gmail, and YouTube and kind of puts it all in one box. And to be honest, Joe, I don't think we've really used these that much. Like as the demand gen itself. We've done all three of those things as separate components. Mm-hmm. But have you run any demand gen campaigns?
I haven't. It's pretty interesting. So it seems like it's kind of like Performance Max Lite, like they're grouping a couple different areas and throwing them on there all together.
Yeah. So I don't really want to shit on it too much because we haven't done it ourselves, but I want to shit on it a little bit because it's just not something you need when it comes to dropshipping. And this list is all about traffic sources for dropshipping. So we've created, I don't know, 30 million, something in the tens and tens of millions of dollars of revenue doing high ticket dropshipping. I've never touched the demand gen.
Okay.
I don't care about it. It's not necessary. So throw it in an E, throw it in an F.
Let's throw it in E. I got to make these a little smaller. I apologize. I hope people could see. It's probably pretty small, which sucks, but maybe I'll write over them while you discuss the next one. Why don't we go over to Meta? Any sort of social media ad on Meta?
So Meta ads could be basic Facebook ads. They could be Instagram ads. So this can be just basic Facebook posts. We're even talking Instagram Reels. Anywhere in between. So as far as what we've done here, we've not done a lot of dropshipping stuff in terms of going out. And again, it goes back to the toilet example. If I'm selling the toilet, what kind of Instagram ad am I going to make that's really going to move the needle? You can venture into influencer marketing and have someone make a reel for you, or you just don't do that. So we prefer Instagram, Facebook for light retargeting purposes, similar to Google Video. But I would put it below Google Video because the Google Video will integrate seamlessly. You know, YouTube will integrate seamlessly on the same ad platform as all your other stuff. So it's a lot easier to, like when you have search ads running, other ads, or even organic results, you take that Google Pixel, you funnel it right back into the Google Video. Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, and actually, you know, Mike, I want to push back a little bit on this one, because you're in the process right now of making me make an Instagram reel for our store with a customer product.
I am.
Which I am doing. And the reason I am piggybacking off of what you said is because it's actually, I haven't done this in a while. So I was pretty surprised that they made it pretty seamless to integrate Shopify with Facebook now. Yeah. So it's pretty interesting, like the way it hooks up to your product feed and like hook syncs to Shopify itself. So it supposedly makes the pixel a lot more accurate and things. So, but why are you making me make this?
Because I want to test it out. Listen, I know we say things in this video, but we're not hard stuck in our ways. If someone can come to me and show me, hey, I got my toilet site, I got my sink site, I got influencer marketing going, and I'm making all these sales, I'll readjust this.
Okay.
The way that we do it, like you could sell boring products and make a lot of money, and that's what we've done. So the one thing that we're doing right now that I'm having you do is more of a flashy type product. And again, I'll also say this as an important caveat. This is a product where we're the only ones that have access to it. We're the only ones that are able to sell it. So if I'm selling a toilet and there's 20 other people selling the toilet, I'm going on Instagram with the influencer marketing. It's not the same because somebody can go and buy the toilet somewhere else.
Gotcha.
So my efforts are going to be more in vain. You got to think about, you're looking at the shopping funnel, and when you do the influencer on the toilet, you know what? I should do a video about this, but for Build Assets Online. But when you got the influencer on the toilet, and it's a toilet that you don't own, that you don't have the exclusive rights to, you're going to, maybe you create a lot of demand. If you're lucky, you create a lot of demand for this toilet, but you're going to lose a lot of that demand to other sites.
Yeah.
So you're going to be a lot less efficient.
Yeah. And I think we've kind of seen this firsthand where we sold a site that was selling very boring products. Probably. I mean, if you think about the main thing that it sold, which if you watch our interview with Pat Yates, I think he dropped it. I'm not going to drop it again here. You got to go watch that interview.
Joe, you're swiveling and you're kind of like messing up your mic.
Oh, well. Okay. Okay. Sorry. I'm not going to drop the, it was a very boring product, which was our best selling product. I'm not going to drop it here. Pat, I think, dropped it in our interview. So you got to go watch our interview with Pat Yates if you're curious. But after we sold the store, I remember the new owners were, they wanted to get on that Facebook and Instagram ads right away. So they went in, messed up the Google ads, and are basically spamming our email on how to get access to the Facebook account. And I'm like, I don't know. I haven't opened this thing in 4 years. I don't even know where, like, I don't even know how to get into it or where it is. Anyway, they flopped. So yeah. I think there is something to what you're saying, is that you can't try to sell these boring products through Facebook on Instagram. And it's kind of funny at thinking back, like how much they tried, and like through that and through email, like always making new graphics and like posting it on Facebook and emailing out, we're selling toilets now, like come check it out.
Yeah, their way of doing marketing, and this was a Silicon Valley company that had received tens of millions of dollars in funding. They had absolutely no idea how to run a stupid high ticket dropshipping store. Like, they could not take their conventional skills and apply it to what we do, because they were thinking too much about it. They were doing too much versus just sticking with the basics. Like, we don't need Facebook posts every day about your toilets. Yeah. So, and again, the huge difference is when we're trying it right now, we have exclusive access to the product, and it's more flashy than a toilet. We'll say that.
Gotcha. All right. What about Bing?
Bing, let's go B. We'll go B for Bing, bada bing, bada boom. Because it certainly brings in more business than the Google video. So I had to put it above that. It's better than Facebook, because we're getting now to the core of what makes a high ticket dropship business really run. And that is search intent with ads, right? So you got to think, Carl, he walks into his office at 9 a.m. in the morning. And I'll tell you what, he got up at 5 a.m. He had his coffee and he's 350 pounds. He sat on his toilet and he cracked it. And so his wife is yelling at him. He goes to work and he goes on his Internet Explorer at work. And he's like, oh, I got to get a new toilet now. My wife is, you know, getting on me. So he goes into Internet Explorer. He searches big toilet. And there you go.
Yeah. Popping up. Yeah. Yeah. So what makes Bing, I would say, I mean, in theory, it is very similar to Google in the fact that there's demand there. There's product demand, like you explained. But what makes it like inferior to Google right now? Because, I mean, there are rumors that Bing might overtake Google at some point, especially in today's environment.
I think it's less about the amount of searches that you get on Bing, right? So like somebody, or the amount of searches that happen on Google for the word toilet is probably way, way more than happen on Bing for the word toilet.
Mm-hmm.
But my issue is more with the ad platform itself. Mm-hmm. Bing ads, we've really struggled to scale it because like we try to do different things to do segmentation, be more accurate. And it never really works that well. Like the same rules that we've discovered on Google that work really well doesn't always apply to Bing. And we've coached multiple students who use Bing and they haven't really been able to get it to work at a very consistent and scalable level either. So again, I don't hate Bing. It certainly brings in a good chunk of business, but I run some basic ads, set it and forget it. And I let it do what it does. I'm not going to try and scale it to the moon. Because again, I don't, the ad platform and the reporting and just the way that it works is not as good as Google.
Yeah. Sorry, I hit the mic there with my hand. It was an accident. All right. So we have, you know, let's get a little juicy here. We have Performance Max. How do you feel about Performance Max?
If we're talking dropshipping, we're putting it in the F.
In the F?
I want it in the F.
All right.
We got Brandon in here. Shout out, Brandon. Brandon came to us many, many months into his dropshipping journey. And he said, PMax is a charity. And that's right. You're paying right into the the Google Foundation when you do Performance Max for dropshipping. Because it's basically a black box. You have no good reporting as to what keywords you're showing up for. You have no control. So Performance Max will take you and it'll show you for YouTube. It'll show you for display, Gmail, all the things that demand gen does, plus shopping, plus search, everything. And you have very little control over what it's going to do. On top of that, it doesn't play well with other campaigns, right? So if I had a search campaign going, and then I had a Performance Max campaign going for the same type of thing, it's just going to cannibalize it. And so it's not something that you can just put on your account and test without having the other campaigns in your account suffer if it's for the same products. So long story short, Brandon, how much money did you spend on Performance Max before you came to us? It was quite a lot. Had thousands and thousands of dollars. And then we put them on the Bao diet, and he's $2,000. He spent on Performance Max. I don't think he really got any sales. He never had a track conversion in his Google Ads account. Zero conversions. We put him on the Bao diet. He's making sales almost every day. So it's an F. Don't do it. I get people make it work with e-commerce. I'm sure that they do. I'm sure that it's, there's a way to do it, but again, I can't go off of that because are they doing high ticket dropshipping where they're selling their products alongside multiple people? They have certain margins they need to hit. Like I've heard people flex Performance Max return on ad spend as something like 5 to 6x, meaning they put in $100 into PMax they get out $500 of revenue. That's simply not good enough for what we do. We need at least 10x return on ad spend. We got students in our group doing 100x. You know, yeah. 15x, 20x, that's more the norm.
Yeah.
So you're going to tell me you're dialing in on this super great algorithm and you're getting 5 to 6x out of it? Not going to fly.
Yeah. And it's pretty interesting. Maybe we should do another stream on this. That someone in our group who has been getting those high ROAS numbers. It's, we always like to say, we haven't said this in a while, but we always used to like to say the longer you stay in the game, the more opportunities present themselves. And after he gave us a little more detail about what he's doing, I think it's simply a case of that. You know, you develop closer relationship with suppliers. They let you try new things. And that's what people don't realize is how much of an iterative process this is. And getting in the game, getting your foot in the door, that's really just step one. But when you have these supplier relationships, it, you know, that's when the magic starts to happen over a long period of time.
Yeah. Yeah. We say no matter what, just stay in the game. So it might take you a year. I mean, not that you're not profitable for a year, but like over time, you're learning more about your suppliers. You're learning more about your products. You're learning more about how to serve your products to your customers.
Yeah.
And that is really what can set you apart and what can really deliver great return on your ad spend. It's like, how do you make your product page better than everybody else that's also trying to sell that product? And even the student that you're referring to, like, he's able to do things with his product pages and with his support that like Home Depot and like other big box stores, they simply can't do. Yep. Because it's more personalized. So he's getting huge sales. Whereas like not big competitors just can't go there. So
Brandon says, what's crazy is someone I know in a different community doing 200K per month with PMax. So I think from what I understand, it could work well if it has a lot of conversion data to go off of, like it can kind of snowball. But you don't know his ROAS, first of all, which is really important. And second of all, it's one of those things because I actually run a lot of PMax campaigns for a totally different business. And it's one of those things where it if it latches onto something, it's going to snowball it. And it can latch on to like things that are bad too, if that makes sense. Like, especially if you're doing lead gen with it, it can like latch on to like really, really bad leads and think, oh, it's going to get you more of these horrible leads just because it's a conversion.
Yeah. Yeah. But what the hell was I talking about? So like, again, taking it back to what makes an ad perform really well, back to the toilet type thing. Like, if you can come up with a way to, even if you're selling the same toilets as everybody else, like you're selling a brand that other people have, if you can present that toilet and that offer for that toilet in a way where nobody else can, like, I don't know, let's call it a friggin', you're selling a bidet toilet and you can do different things with the add-ons. It can have the friggin', five different squirters. It can do the warm seat. It could not do the warm seat. It can do... I was just in Japan, Joe, and at one of the hotels I was at, you would walk into the bathroom. The toilet must have had a sensor on it. And it would open its mouth. Like it would open its mouth, and then the water would do something. Like the water would start bubbling or like ionizing or something.
Yeah, they're into that there, huh?
Get ready to receive. They're way too into it. But that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Like, if you can go onto that page, you know, someone comes onto your page and they can do these little add-ons and these cutesy little things, then that's a way you can stand out. So let's move on here. Let's go with display.
All right.
And you know what? I think display has to go in E.
Oh. Because, that bad, huh?
Yeah, because we've run display ads, like even retargeting display ads, for many, many years. And I haven't seen results from it that are even as good as like basic Facebook retargeting.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I guess so. These are like ads on like websites and stuff.
Yeah, a display ad is, well, it could also be some other thing that I'll mention in a second, but a display ad in its best sense is, again, someone is looking up, they maybe one day they search toilets in Google, maybe they don't click your site, but now Google understands, all right, they're in the market for a toilet. And now they're reading, I don't know, maybe they're reading a totally different blog. They're on a totally different page.
Yeah.
But now Google knows that they're in the market for a toilet. You basically create a graphic. Hey, shop Joe's toilet for $500.
Well, I don't think we've ever tried this, but
we haven't. I'm just explaining the basics of a display ad, what it is.
Yeah, but you can actually target specific pages, right?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, you could say, hey, I want to show up on this blog, that blog, this blog. But like another issue is like for retargeting, for example, a lot of times it'll just you ever go on a mobile app and you're getting the ads on the mobile app and you accidentally click one and you're like, shit. And then like you close it out.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. You just made somebody pay for their display ad campaign. Right.
Yeah.
So a lot of times you'll show up on these BS mobile apps and waste money there, even for retargeting. So, yeah, I just don't find it to be that effective. And even if you think about it, just in terms of like logically, I know you don't use Facebook very much or Instagram, Joe, but like, a lot of times when you're on a blog, it can be spammed with articles and it can be spammed with like ads in the articles and you accidentally click one.
Yeah.
Like that's going to happen a lot more than it would on Facebook where you're scrolling through Facebook. Okay. You see the products that you were just looking at. And then it's like a conscious decision to click that. There's going to be a lot less wasted clicks.
Yeah.
Through Facebook retargeting than through display ad retargeting.
Yeah. All right, we got two more, Mike. Shopping and search. Let's do shopping.
Okay, let's do shopping. I think shopping should go in S.
Ooh. And what makes shopping deserving of S tier?
Shopping is S tier because for the last decade, ourselves as well as students have been able to start high ticket dropshipping stores with very little money, just put up shopping campaigns, start generating sales, start generating profit. And the good thing about it is people are very naturally inclined to use Google Shopping now. They see the picture, they see the price, the intent is kind of baked in, right? Like they know what they're getting into.
Right. Yeah, and exactly.
They search toilet. I see a bunch of toilets. I'm clicking the one that the price appeals to me. I like the name of the store, whatever, the brand. And now they're on their way to actually buying from you.
Interesting how close it is to, well, I don't know if this, I have best results with PMAXs.
He's got the Lambo in front of the Buckingham Palace. Tell us about your PMAX results, MXT, please. Seriously, I want to know. I want to know what you got going on. Anyway, Google Shopping. What were you saying? It's close to what?
No, I was going to say it's so close to Bing, but I guess realize this is visually. It doesn't mean that it's in the same like playing field. But anyway, so Google Shopping, it's got high intent baked in, price point baked in, and I feel like it's pretty cheap for what
clicks,
it is.
The clicks are cheap if you want them to be. And what's good is that normally we like to have as much control as possible when it comes to running our ads. With Google Shopping, you do sacrifice a little bit of control where it's going to take your product, your toilet, and it's going to say, all right, it can show up for 1 million keywords. These are all the million keywords it can show up for. So, yes, you don't have control over exactly what you show up for, but it, Google kind of knows, like, what is a shopping intent term and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the opportunity to see, all right, what am I actually getting good clicks for? What is actually converting? And then that can bleed into when you go make search ads. Right. Not to mention, there is a way to control for Google Shopping keywords and do segmentation, all that. And we go very deep into that. But yeah, you can't control every single keyword that you show up for in Google Shopping.
Right.
Which, in my opinion, is a good thing.
Right. But I would say there's also a decent barrier to entry of it, because the way you do control it, not everyone is going to be controlling it at such a, you know, the level that you might be controlling it at.
Well, that's the thing too, right? Like, you don't know what budget somebody's working with, what type of bids they're working with, what type of segmentation they're doing. So it's really like, versus the search ads in Google, I want to show up for the word toilet. Okay, you're going to do that. Everybody else is going to do that too. That makes the bids go sky high. There's limited real estate in terms of, all right, there's only literally a few sponsored results on the, you know, when you search toilet, right? Google Shopping, people literally just go into the shopping tab and they just scroll and they shop around. So that naturally makes it a lot easier to make sales with competition.
Okay. So we got one more, Mike. Search ads.
So search, I'm going to put in A.
All right.
I've said this once before inside of one of the office hours we did, a presentation I did on Google search ads. What I said was, in time, your search ads, the spend you put into your search ads should far exceed the spend you put into your Google Shopping ads. Because over time, what's happening is, you're running the Google Shopping. You're seeing what products work. You're seeing what keywords work. And you're getting all this information. And now, whereas the shopping ads are casting a wide net and you're seeing what catches, the search ads are more like a sniper approach. Where I know, hey, I want to show up for this and I want to show up at the top. And I know I can spend what it takes to do that.
All right.
So you do that.
So there you have it. The dropshipping ads tier list.
So this is actually, if we go from A, or sorry, if we go from S down, this is exactly what we tell people to do in terms of like how, what the cadence should be in terms of what they set up. Like, you start with the Google Shopping ads, then you make the Google search ads, then you get on Bing, then you can do some YouTube retargeting. Maybe I would say you can get the Facebook going. The Facebook retargeting going sooner, but this is really a good step-by-step process of how you should run your dropshipping ads.
Yeah, so you see, so ironically, you can actually even start them in this order.
You should start them in this order for sure.
Okay.
Not to mention with search ads, even something like a branded search ad for your store name, joestoilets.com, right? So they click on the shopping ad for the toilet. They're browsing your site. They go, oh, I found a good price on that site. What was that site? And it's like, before you're ranking in Google, like, they go and search Joe's Toilets. They may never find you again. So you create the branded store name ad, and that is going to be your most profitable campaign inside your account.
All right.
Joe, we forgot TikTok.
Nigel.
M said, where?
Well, I feel like we shouldn't even place it because, I mean, it might actually be shutting down.
Yeah, Toddy said, I've been learning about TikTok and started selling 2 months ago. Now they're going to shut it down. Yeah. Toddy, what have your results been selling on TikTok?
I'll be surprised if it actually shuts down.
I would too. I'm not really taking it seriously, but this is the thing. Where is this? Brent said, what's crazy, I know someone in a different community doing 200K per month with PMax. I know somebody in every community, in every business model, that's crushing it. So this has, like, you're going to find one person that's having success wherever you go. It's a matter of how repeatable is it, and can you teach the average person to do it?
Yeah, that's the thing is, you know, we only teach things that fit those criteria.
Right. So even with TikTok, there's so many people that are crushing it on TikTok with TikTok ads. Like, I'm not disputing it. But how many people go on TikTok and don't get results? Like, especially doing dropshipping on TikTok. Because it's not a product that you own. And you just have, like, there's less opportunity for influencer marketing. You don't have the same budget to play with as if, like, you're really trying to build a brand for yourself. It's just, you don't need to do it. Like, it's such a separate game versus literally going to Google Shopping, taking the product you want to sell and just putting it on Google Shopping so it shows up when people are searching for the product. Like, you're beating around the bush. We don't need to be doing a TikTok dance for the toilet, when we could just go on Google and show up and people are searching for toilet.
Yeah.
Brent said, next challenge, take Joe's toilets to 1 million a month.
Well, I don't think we've ever gotten any store to 1 million a month.
I think we could.
You think so?
We can get toilets to 1 million a month. No, I don't know, but I think that'd be a good niche to, like, build in public. Because it's such, like, a mundane, stupid thing.
Yeah. Like, I would do the build in public thing, but I don't want to build anything else.
I know that's really the conundrum. Royalty got hit, said it's not going to shut down for at least a year. Talking about TikTok, they have 12 months to sell the company. I don't know what the details are on this, but I'm not on TikTok really. I don't know, keep up with it.
Listen, I don't believe anything until it happens.
Yeah. Absolutely. Tony said, I haven't been doing ads, but I've been doing TikTok shop marketing through influencers. I've been making $500 a week gross with 45% margins. It's good, but it's not consistent. Yeah, I mean, that's good to hear, but if it's not consistent, then yeah, maybe some months you make 2,000, some months you make 100. With what we have here laid out, this is very consistent.
Yeah.
Because you have on average the same amount of people, like 100,000 people a month are going to search toilets. And you're just showing up. So you don't need to constantly be making new creatives. Like, all this stuff. Being in an ad space or a marketing space that's very creative focused is very difficult for a beginner. And it's very difficult, again, when you don't have, like, the incentive of it's your own product, it's your own brand. Because you need to be constantly testing new creatives, making new creatives, seeing which ones work. The ones that do work, they're going to stop working. So it's a never-ending cycle. Versus this is so easy. And this is why we're so lazy. And this is why our video quality sucks and people think that we're broke. It's because we're just used to doing easy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem.
Like, we know how easy it can be to just, you look at your phone, all right, I made a $10,000 sale. And guess what? It wasn't because I had an influencer doing a dance.
Yeah. All right. Toby, I've tried some cloud stacking, but didn't see much change in the rankings. Do you just need more links than your competitors? No. So, like, I don't know exactly what type of cloud stacks you built. So it's going to come down to how powered up are the cloud stacks and how competitive is the term. Like, it's not going to magically rank you for a competitive term. But I would try to use it to rank for high ticket stuff that's like low competition. So I don't know. It's, those aren't enough details to like answer the question, unfortunately, but that's how I would think about it.
Are our cloud stacks working, Joe?
Well, to our e-commerce site, I don't know, because we've done so many other things, but locally they definitely work. For local SEO, they work really well. They work really well for like, if you have a domain that's just for service. I don't know much about his service. I just build all the clouds myself.
So when you say clouds, the cloud stacks are powered up. The weeds of people have no idea what we're talking about probably, but cloud stacking is like a basic way to like build links to your website to make it
right,
right? And then power.
Yeah, I'm not going to put too much time into it for like e-commerce stuff. I would do it if I had like maybe like I'll take a really niche product. So here's an example of how I would use cloud stacking for high ticket dropshipping. So say I was selling like a niche product, not just a sauna, but like what's a barrel sauna or something, or like a sauna with like what's a weird type of sauna?
How weird? Like something that's like super long tail?
Yeah, I guess. Or just, yeah, whatever.
Like a cedar barrel sauna maybe, or...
Do they make... Hold on.
I'm not sure exactly how to answer your question.
All right. Yeah, let me just... So just say you're doing like outdoor saunas or like sauna boats, which is actually a thing. I would have like saunaboats.com and then use the cloud stack to try to rank my domain for that and build all the relevance around the domain for that particular thing. So it really helps with like relevance as well. Like that's kind of like one of its main benefits is that you can add in all of these like LSI keywords and n-grams and just all these words related to, in this case, like boat saunas. And then you have like boatsaunas.com and you're kind of like reinforcing the category that Google is going to put your site in. That's, I think, the best way to use it. If you're just like throwing it at random things on like a more generic site, I feel like it's not going to be that effective.
Gotcha. Royalty said, should you start Google search ads immediately after getting your first sale? Yeah, you can. I mean, some people don't start them for quite a bit. I think doing the store name search ad, as I described, you can put up immediately because that's going to help you get your first sale. If people go to your website and then they can't find their way back, then you have a problem. Like, you need to... make sure they could get back to your site if they actually try to. So also it's important, you have to think about your domain name when you're first starting out for this reason. Like if your domain name is too generic, your store name search ad might wind up being competitive. Like if your store name is buytoilets.com, someone wants to go back to your store. They're like, oh, what is it? Buy toilets? Buy toilets. You can run the text ad. You're going to be having to compete with everybody else that's just running that from a generic standpoint. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Versus Joe's Toilets. You search Joe's Toilets, there's nobody else that's going to really be popping up like that.
Yeah.
So you got to think about that type of thing.
All right, Mike, let's call it here. I want to finish that ad.
You got a TikTok ad going?
Yeah, I want to finish the Instagram reel.
All right. Right. So we might have to come back and modify this.
Yeah, see how this goes.
But yeah, we'll call it here. I think this was informative. But
I think you were making a reference there.
Yeah, I was. If you want to learn how to build a high-ticket dropshipping store, you could sell for over $100,000. Your screen's still being charged. If you want to learn how to build a store you could sell for over $100,000, high ticket dropshipping, just like we've done many, many times, we've taught our students to do, you can apply for the waitlist. Go to buildassetsonline.com/enroll, sign up. You'll get alerted when we open up our spots. There's only going to be a few that come up in May. So get after it. Melon gang, rise up. As Brandon says, take it or leave it. But as always, take it easy.